You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Your girl been saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's the most powerful phrase, I believe. Gratitude is the only attitude worth having. I believe when we're thankful and grateful, oh, the blessings that open up for us. And so, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you to all of our sponsors and donors who make this possible. And right now, we're especially thankful to all of you who helped crowdfund a new laptop for our nonprofit. Oh, thank you for your generous heart. And the most generous heart belongs to our guest today. You know, I didn't ask him to help crowdfund our nonprofit laptop because he's a board member for our nonprofit. But he was one of the first people to step up and make a donation without even being asked or pressured or anything. That just came out of his heart. He saw that we had a need, and he helped us to fill that need. There's so many reasons why I love our guest today, but his generous heart, his love of language and culture, his gracious, steadfast loyalty, and most of all, his love. You'll see exactly what I mean as we visit with our guest today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Good morning. I am Dwayne Brayboy. And I'm Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse Bear Clan.
I love you, and I thank you.
Genorikwa, I love you too.
I'm really excited to have this conversation with you because whatever you do, we claim, because you're one of our board members. And so we're always cheering for you, rejoicing with you, encouraging you, believing in you as you do these amazing things in the world. You know, I love media. My undergraduate degree, I focused on popular culture and media as well as Indigenous studies. And I'm really excited to talk to you about what you're doing that has to do with media. Could you share with us?
Oh, I've been doing a lot with media lately. Media is definitely a hallmark of the times that we live in. Everything is touched by media in some way, it seems. So we're on board with that. But being somebody who... Yeah, I don't know. I have a little bit of media experience. You know, I'm a former editor, a reporter. So I've had some media experience from my high school days, even. Mm-hmm. And so I've got some media experience. But then, you know, media since the time I was in high school, it's just... Well, we all know what's become of media. You know, now there's social media, and just the media and the Western Hemisphere has just taken on a life of its own. So
yeah,
we're not fighting it. We're going with it. We're using it for our advantage. One of the projects that I'm working on, I just wrapped it up, is my first animated Tuscarora story. I am narrating it in the Tuscarora language, and I've used media to make this as interesting as possible, because I feel this is my theory on that, is I feel like, as opposed to the still frames that I had made with earlier horror story videos, that using fully animated stories are going to help, they're more interesting, you know, they're going to help preserve our stories and our language. And I had a great opportunity in this to revive an extinct bird. In North Carolina, you know, there's only been one parrot that's ever been indigenous to the land we call North Carolina now, and that is what they called the Carolina parakeet. Some called it the Carolina parrot, but so when I was telling this story that takes place sometime around 1700, I thought, I want to give the viewer a snapshot of what our ancestors would have seen on a daily basis. A true to life, you know, what would they have seen in eastern North Carolina, and what would they have not seen? So one of the things that I thought of was the Carolina parakeet. And of course, the last one went extinct in, I believe, 1906, maybe, in a Cincinnati zoo. But they had taxidermied some. So there are some photographs, good photographs, color photographs of the birds. And so I brought them back to life. I animated it.
Those
pictures, made a composite. And so, you know, the things like that we can do now with media that I think, you know, some people fight that and think that, you know, this, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, or maybe that's not the best thing to do, you know, using AI for something like that. But I'm thinking, where else would we see it? How else would we get this done? You know, and again, my goal is to show an honest snapshot of the ancestors' daily lives. And because of the opportunities that we have now with media, it's going to help tell our story. And I hope that it inspires other people to tell their own stories, not only other Native nations, but other people around the world. Because, you know, my long-standing belief that we are nothing if not the sum of our ancestors. And so their stories are worth remembering and telling. So there's that. And then in another media situation, that opportunity that we have now is that we've been contacted by Netflix to participate in a documentary series.
I love it. I just love it. I love it. And I just, I love it. I love it that you're on our board. I love it that you're part of our lives. And I love it that you have this wonderful opportunity to represent Native people. Will you tell us about it, please?
Yes, I was, we were contacted by a representative from Netflix, and it's just generally said that they were interested in meeting with us and talking with us. Me and Packet, my little brother, Rahnawa Gift, Donnie McDowell, wanted to talk to us too about the Tuscarora participation in the Revolutionary War. And I thought, this is an unusual request. I mean, we get contacted by a lot of people for different things, and sometimes we get contacted in ways that just seem logical and make sense, the sort of communications that we might expect, you know. then sometimes we get contacted like this, and we're just thinking, okay, it's not unusual for us to get contacted about history-related stuff, but specifically the Revolutionary War. I'm just thinking, oh, I wonder why. I wonder why the Revolutionary War. I was like, but you know, we agreed to a meeting, and I figured I would cover that with them then. And their response when I asked this question was, here on the West Coast, they're based in California. They're like, here on the West Coast, you know, where so many of us here were just born and raised, you know, we never had the War of 1812 or the Revolutionary War or the French and Indian War or, you know, any of those things here, because the West Coast is so recently colonized. And so, at least by, you know, the European settlers and such, non-native peoples. And so they're like, you know, we didn't have those wars here, but, you know, you people on the East Coast did. And they were like, something that we've noticed when we have learned about the American Revolutionary War is that it's always told in this context of, you know, the British are bad, they're being bad to the American colonists, the American colonists revolt, they engage in the Revolutionary War, end of story, the good guys won, you know, and that's basically it. And they're like, we know that there's more to this story, and we want to tell that story. And they're thinking that of all the, you know, Native American nations that were affected by the Revolutionary War, we want your perspective. You know, how did your people feel about the Revolutionary War? Were you involved? And if so, to what degree? And what were your motivations and such, to or not to? And so we discussed that. And, of course, history bleeds. You know, it bleeds from one phase to another. And so it's hard to differentiate or, you know, distinguish how one thing did not give birth to another, sort of a thing. I think that way myself. So I brought in some, tied in some, you know, well, you know, these ancestors of mine in particular, like my 6th, 7th, 8th grandfathers fought in the Revolutionary War, because Tuscaroras, we felt that, you know, it would secure our treaties, you know, because by this time, you know, we had been in already, those of us Tuscaroras who remained here in North Carolina, were in 5 treaties with the settlers. And so the fledgling American government. And so we felt that, you know, if we protect this land, then we're also protecting our treaty rights. So we had that. But then, you know, tying that into, okay, well, then there are these ancestors of mine who fought in the Revolutionary War, Tuscarora ancestors. And then they also fought in the War of 1812. And then some of them, even in the French and Indian Wars. So this opened up some larger dialogue for them to understand. And now they're interested in talking about these other wars and other topics. So, yeah, Netflix. Hopefully this will be something very special.
It's already very special, you know? Just to think about representation matters. And to think about their faith and trust in you to bring that representation in such a good way. Oh, thank you for doing this, and thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for being part of our board and what we do, and being willing to bring your knowledge to this wider platform. So what do you hope comes from this Netflix meeting?
Well, we do have another meeting tomorrow to discuss these other related topics further, you know, the French and Indian Wars, the War of 1812 mm-hmm. and such. I went as recent as the American Civil War.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, we had a lot to say, and mm-hmm. so there's a lot more to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I hope comes of this is I'm not greedy. Mm-hmm. It's just simply representation. I'll be happy enough with that.
Yes.
But you know, at best, it could secure a better future for my people, because as mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. The Americans have broken every treaty with in every Indian nation that they ever yes. entered into.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my nation is no exception. The way that my personal opinion about the outcomes is that some people have better legal representation
mm-hmm.
to get their treaty rights back. Some, you know, like I believe the Catawbas, you know, mm-hmm. they rescinded their status, and then they had to fight to get their status back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and these are people that were in treaties with the Americans,
right?
And so, so yeah, and us being like a tier one poverty level, economically depressed region of mm-hmm. North Carolina, at best, I hope that this sort of exposure, this sort of representation, and speaking about our treaty rights and our treaties that have been trampled upon,
mm-hmm.
hopefully it will lead to something very good that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm always hoping. Every time that I speak, every time I write, every time I make a video, a story, a presentation, you know, I'm always hoping that this is the one that will get the right person's attention to the Tuscarora cause.
Yes.
And, you know, Grandpa used to say, you know, be brave and strong people will come to your side.
Mm-hmm. Strong hearts to the front.
Yes.
I think that's
and
beautiful.
Our family name is Brave.
Yes, I love it. Oh, well, it suits you in every way. Brave and courageous. You truly are a warrior. And I've always, always been so thankful for your willingness to lead and to be brave in every situation. You know, as I listen to this wonderful thing that you're doing, and you're always doing wonderful things, we're always doing wonderful things, and I'm so blessed that the Creator gives us these things to do. I'm thinking about, in a way, you know, media is accessible to us in a way that it hasn't been for, like, in the 20th century, it wasn't. There were basically certain networks that could be on television, and that's what everybody watched. And if you weren't represented, uh-oh, you just weren't represented. And even the idea of publications, you know, printing presses and having to put out physical copies of things. Then you had the rise of Native American newspapers, news from Indian Country Today, the tribal newspapers that tried to, Indian Voices, that tried to tell people the truth about Indian Country. But now, isn't it amazing that we have phones that have more capabilities than some of the cameras that were in the news studios when the big three networks were all we had? You know, we have laptops, and thank you. And we have equipment that allows us to, you know, make a podcast like this one and syndicate it all over the world, 160 countries. And we can do that now. We have ways to amplify our voices as tribal people. What do you think of the technology that allows us to do this?
I am appreciative and grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that surprises some people about me because
yeah.
I am such a traditional sort of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a lot of people get this impression about me that I'm so traditional that I would not be friendly with modern advents.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the truth. The truth is, you know, media is, you know, it really is one of the art forms really born here in America,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yes, yes.
You know, media and advertising and that sort of a thing, you know. So I am, why not use it? You know,
right.
It can do so much, and I really can't think of, I mean, of course there are, you know, people can abuse and just about anything, you know, with a bad mind, but that is unfortunate. But, you know, using media and technology for good,
mm-hmm.
why not?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like having access to something wonderful and then just saying, well, no, I don't want something wonderful. Or, you know, in my storytelling context, like I was talking to somebody who was not very, didn't have a really good opinion about AI stuff. And I said, well, for example, the Carolina parakeet again. You know, I was like, there's no video of the Carolina parakeets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so where in the world would I ever see them? You know, how would I bring them, you know, show them moving, flying, their eyes blinking, their wings flapping, you know, without this sort of technology? You know, and so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that this is doing a bad thing. I think that this is doing a good thing, in my opinion. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's giving people, you know, I've shown this little video clip to a handful of people from the full video, you know, that the story that I wrote, but I
mm-hmm.
isolated this little clip of the Carolina parakeet, and the people who have seen it have just been amazed. Like,
mm-hmm.
it looks like National
mm-hmm.
Geographic.
It does, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, you know, yeah, so if I can use technology, available technology today, to bring this bird back to life, to show that this is something that our ancestors would have seen every day, why not do that? Instead of just saying it in a story, like, oh, there was a Carolina parakeet, but, you know, people see hear the word parakeet or see the word parakeet, and automatically we only think of really one thing, you know,
yeah.
and that's the budgie,
mm-hmm.
you know, the budgie parakeet, that, you know, the greens and the blues and the white little parakeets, but that is not at all what the Carolina parakeet looked like. It was a larger bird, kind of looked like a Amazon parrot a little bit, or a sun conure, kind of that size. So I'm like, where else would we be able to show that or see that? You know, sure, I could just
mm-hmm.
say it in the story, but seeing it in the story, in the video, and watching the bird fly and flap its wings and blink its eyes and just come to life, that makes the story, I think, so much better. So why not use technology? Yeah, so I would rather have access to that.
How did you feel while you were using the technology, like during the actual process of reviving this bird? How did that feel spiritually to you?
It's funny that you ask that, because for me, it was so exciting. It was exhilarating. It was... Yeah, I gasped. I did. I took these color photos of the taxidermied Carolina parakeets, made a composite, and fed it into the computer AI model, and then turned that into a 10-second video clip. And, you know, so I saw the composite, I saw the still photos, and but then when the AI model turned these photos into a video of a bird that was static and now it's dynamic, its wings are flapping, its eyes are blinking, it's just moving very naturally like you're seeing it live, it made me, it just like, oh, wow, you know, and there it is. So it was really exhilarating to do that. And I think that, you know, there are other aspects of the same technology that could be used for other things as well. I mean, I've done, I use the same technology for other aspects of the story. And what I'm thinking of doing with the stories is, yeah, I've been working on them over the summer here, and I'm thinking of just putting them away, and because, you know, storytelling season, you know, and
right.
Tuscaroras, we have old lore about telling stories out of season, and, you know, like the snakes will lay along the path, and they'll get you when you walk by. Tell stories out of seasons. So I'm not, I've pretty much decided that I'm, even though the video should be complete and ready to go 100% in the next couple of days, I'm still thinking about just holding on to it and waiting for storytelling season. And then when storytelling season comes, then maybe what I'll do is just, you know, maybe I'm thinking about having like a Tuscarora Nation gathering, like maybe once every 2 weeks or something during the storytelling season. And, you know, when we get together, I'll show one of my new videos that I've made. Because once I finish this, I'm going right into the next one.
Marvelous. And for our friends who don't know, will you please tell us about storytelling season?
Well, storytelling season, and with Tuscaroras anyhow, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think,
sure,
that, you know, pretty much the other natives in this region all had the same sort of standard here. And that was that, you know, summertime, the hot months, that's whenever you're busy, you've got work to do, there's farming to do, and so much work to do, building, you know, maybe scouting for new village sites and stuff, you know, so much work to do in the summer and the warm months. And then when the world cools down and we segue into winter, and we're more indoors, so that's when storytelling season comes to life. Because, you know, especially in the old days, you know, whenever it's freezing outside and everybody is inside the longhouse, you know, the longhouse is a traditional housing unit that would house an entire clan. And so, you know, Tuscaroras staying in the same longhouse, you know, and it being so cold outside. So, you know, pretty much it's a lot like today, just a different configuration, you know. When it's December and it's freezing outside, we're not outside doing yard work. We're indoors cooking, baking. You know, I guess more people probably watch TV or movies during that time. But instead of watching TV or movies on TV, we would tell stories. So that's one of the things that we would do to pass the time in the cold months.
I'm so glad you shared that with us, because we know we have friends who listen all around the world, and that is very helpful for them to know something, a glimpse and an insight into how story time and stories are so important. We'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
I can't believe you found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun. Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
Don't be that guy. Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
I'm so excited about all the things that you're doing and the way that you are doing them. And it reminds me of something that my granddaddy said to me. I was all dressed up and ready to go on an event. And he said, "You look beautiful. You are beautiful. Just remember, it's in the way that you use it." And that has come back to me so many times when we talk about technology, we talk about tools, we talk about knowledge. It's in the way that you use it. How is your heart? How is your spirit?
Yes.
How are you using it? What mind? Do you have a good mind when you're using it? Do you agree?
I agree completely. That is also something that some logic that I have heard in my family in our own words. Yes, so... It doesn't surprise me, though, such wisdom coming from your family. And it doesn't surprise me that it's also so similar to feelings from my own family. But yes, it is. If people use anything with a good mind, then so often good things will come from it. And then... You know, you could take some of the best things and people just, you know, abuse them or use them with a bad mind, and they'll be towards negative ends, the outcome. So I do agree in the it's in the way that you use it philosophy.
So what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Pardon me. I just was really interested in what you said, because are there things that we can do or be or use to make sure we have the right mind when we use these things?
Well, I would... Maybe it comes down to a... I don't know, a term I've heard used about a moral compass. It okay, when, you know, the term moral compass wasn't, it wasn't a term I was raised with, but when I heard it, I was like, yeah, okay, I get that. It makes sense to me. So considering, I think, all the variables when using anything, but in this case, technology, you know, is it helpful or is it hurtful? Is it going to hurt anybody if I use this technology in this way? You know, and who could it potentially harm? Because that's something that I'm very cognizant of. You know, it's never my intention to use anything against anybody that would cause anybody any harm. So those are, you know, sorts of things that I go through in my mind before putting things out there and before issuing words, you know, thinking about the words you know, the old story about spelling, you know, like the words that you use, you know, have this power, and words do have power. And so are the words you're using, you know, are they being used for good or bad? Are they intending to be good, but could be potentially harmful or hurtful to somebody else? So, like the Zoroastrians say, good thoughts, good words, good deeds.
That's perfect. I knew you'd know, and I thank you. I'm really excited that you share that with us, because I think we have to govern these things with a good mind, right? And yet,
yeah.
I think Tecumseh would have had a cell phone. I do. I think Osceola would have loved if he could coordinate, you know, the Seminole Wars with the technology we have now, you know. And so I think all of our wonderful tribes have representations of what we now consider social media as well. Like, for example, the winter count. That was a way of recording what happened. And then people could see it for generations to come. Some of the ledger art. Right? I mean, maybe it wasn't digital, but it was a way of telling you what happened. Here's what happened at this battle. Here's what went on. And so we were always people that embraced technology in agriculture, in science. It was what we had at the time.
Exactly.
And
yes.
So when we
and
had
that's
that...
Something mm-hmm. That's something that I have talked with people about before, is that some people I have spoken to in my life have this idea about who Native Americans are and were, and mm-hmm. that we were just because they were raised in a culture that believed that Native Americans were just a step above animals in human form, that we had no concept of technology, of utilizing available technology, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's one of the things that I had mentioned before when we're talking about the differences between, like, say, the guns and the old days, like during the Revolutionary War, that the English had and such, and Native Americans using bows and arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, their guns can fire a musket, bullet, whatever. And yeah, but a Native American warrior could fire 10 arrows in the time that it would take an Englishman to reload one gun. So it doesn't mean that our technology was more primitive. It was arguably more effective.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have our people who have always used available technology and had and developed technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels as if we keep moving the bar for what we call technology.
so that other people, indigenous people and other people groups and ethnicities, can't be included. You know, oh, well, it's technology if it goes into outer space, or it's technology if it has some form of a chip, or it's technology if it's digital. When in reality, think about, you know, I think about terrace gardening. I think about being able to grow and store food. I think about all of the medicines that we were able to use. I mean, penicillin, for example, we start that. And all of the things that we're able to do that are indeed technology, and they're done in a good way. And so this is very important, I think, to have this conversation, especially when we start talking about media, we start talking about technology, because I was in a meeting, a ceremony one time, and there were elders on both sides of the issue. Like, there were some elders who were like, you know, television is bad. It is corrupting our young people. You know, all these things are bad, and they're not traditional, and they have spirits and minds of their own. And I could see their viewpoint. Sure, I could understand. And then there were elders on the other side who were like, you know what, it's already here. If we don't have some of our young people master this with good hearts and good minds, as you taught us, then it'll be used against us.
Right.
And it was an interesting dialogue. And of course, as a young person, I was just quiet. But I listened to both sides. I understood both sides. And then somewhere in a moment in the discussion, as it was getting a little bit heated, and it was not perhaps going, you know, in a positive way, my granddaddy said, well, he was a World War II veteran. He said, what if we see everything as a gift from the Creator and ask Him how He wants us to use it? He may tell us, don't touch it, don't use it. He may tell us, use it, but only during these seasons. Or He may say to us, don't use it at all. He may say to us, yes, by all means, use it. Go ahead. Use it freely. But let's let Him make the final decision for us and make the final directions on how we will use all of this. And so that really placed something in my spirit about some of this. When I see the new technology, when I see different things, because I'm an early adopter, I love technology. I love it. Phones, laptops, I feel like, ah, yes. But I always bring it to the Creator now. Do you want me to be part of this, or do you want me not to be part of this? Do you want me to use this, or do you want me to use this and leave it alone, you know? And when I do that, I have a peace then as I progress and go ahead on and use that particular technology, that I have brought it to the Spirit first. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I went through a similar progression when I began using and learning these new technologies, like the video graphic animations and bringing the Carolina parakeet back to life and a video clip and such. You know, before all that happened, I went through that myself. I had that internal dialogue that you were speaking of, that you attended when you were younger. And because I do know that there are some natives who have this negative opinion about AI, and then there are some that have a positive opinion about it. And so I had to think about it, you know. I just didn't jump in headlong. I mean, at that particular time, I had too much going on. You know, it's been so busy. And I'm thinking, I don't need one more thing to do. But I was like, it's here. It's available. Is this something that I want to do? Is it something that I should do? And so I had to dwell on that for a while and think about the pros and cons. And again, back to, is this in any way going to harm anyone? Or, you know, is it possible to use this technology to benefit the people. And ultimately, I decided that it would benefit the people and that I can use it in a good way. So we should always have those sorts of conversations about not just, I'm always a cautious person. I always look before I leap, but some people leap before they look. And
Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful. So as we're thinking and talking about the future of media, you know, I see what you're doing, some wonderful projects. We're trying to continue this podcast to bring these voices and conversations, and we're all moving really in a good direction and in a good way, I think. But what do we do to decolonize media? We're talking about media we make ourselves, and that's very, very powerful. But then we see media made by others, where we might be represented, we might not be represented. So what do we do to decolonize our relationship with all media?
Well, I think that using media in these indigenous ways and motives and rationale, I think that that itself decolonizes the media platform. For example, when I was making this video, animated video with my story and all, I was using this AI graphics animator, and good for them that they have these safety protocols that are very, very strict. But unfortunate for me, because, you know, part of the story or a central focus of the story is about a young man who's going on his vision quest. And, you know, here in North Carolina, in eastern North Carolina, there's Yuchtifratugisti is what we call it, but it's the settlers call it the Cliffs of the Noose. And this was a sacred site for Tuscaroras. And so that place is where, you know, our young people at rites of passage time would go there and for 3 or 4 days and nights and go on their vision quest. So that's integral to the story that I'm telling here. And so I had to make these graphics and animations with him. And but so often, the media, the AI graphics animator would send me like a content violation warning. Being like, you know, you can't use, you know, like young people in your videos. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's good. It's good that they've got this protocol, the safety measure like that. But I had to write the customer support and explain to them, you know, what I'm doing here and that this is culturally part of who we are as a people, that at times of rites of passage, our people would go set up, you know, their vision quest encampment for 3 or 4 days and nights, and this is just part of our culture. And so they were like, oh, okay, yeah, we know about vision quests and stuff. Okay, we understand. So then they had to help me get around that content violation because, you know, So this was one way that I helped them decolonize their media, you know, by explaining that, you know, this is part of our culture. Because the concern, I guess, was like, okay, you've got a teenager camping alone in the woods with a fire, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, then there's Wejo. You know, our Sasquatch type representation, you know. So then you've got like monsters included as well. And to them, this is like setting off all kinds of alarms. And I just had to explain, no, this is our culture. These are our stories. And so they understood, and so they helped me work around it.
That is so fascinating, because that's exactly the kind of conversation we need to have about this technology when we talk about decolonizing it, because it wasn't made for us, and it wasn't made by us.
Right.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so fascinating. Okay, one more. How do we decolonize our relationship, our personal relationship with media, right? I've heard of Stomp Grounds having to say, look, we're forbidding phones now because everybody's just on their phone, even during ceremony. and we've had people.
Wow.
Yeah, right? And, of course, then again, I mean, as a parent, I will always have my phone on at all times. You know, I may not be looking at it. I may not use it. So, I mean, I have mixed feelings. We can't forbid phones because we have small children. We need to know if anything's going on or whatever. But also, we don't want people sitting there scrolling their social media while the elders are trying to give us teachings. So I've heard [S2] Right. [S1] Of other ceremonies in other tribes where they're saying no phones at all. And, okay, that's fine. I mean, I totally understand that. Yet, I'm talking to you because you have a good mind and spiritual teachings to help us with this. How do we balance our personal relationship with the media we consume, especially since we have such terrifying horrors in the headlines every day? Just horrific things are happening. And so we watch the news. Does it change our mood? Are we watching and consuming music and media that perhaps is not giving us such a good mind? Are we maybe addicted to our phones and devices? How do we develop a good personal relationship? And that's part of decolonizing as well.
It is. And that's all very interesting. And this is touching on something I've spoken about before, using not just today, but in a previous episode, about using things in a good way and using them with a good mind. And so I do believe that there are people that are addicted to their phones. The science has backed that up. There's the dopamine receptors just light up, and anytime people's phones ding or beep or whatever they do, you know, they just, you know, they're the owner's brains just light up with, you know, the dopamine, like, you know, oh, you know, did somebody respond to my Facebook post, you know, and such like that, you know, and ceremony, there's no place for that. I can say that at Prospect Longhouse, where I'm enrolled, we have never allowed electronic devices inside the longhouse. The only thing electric in there is a single light bulb above on the ceiling. Not even a lampshade over it or anything like that, just a single light bulb. And that's if we need it. Normally, you know, like in the summertime, you know, we might not need it, but during the wintertime ceremonies, you know, when it gets dark so early, and if it's like just a gray, cloudy day, there's not a lot of light coming in the longhouse, you know, then we'll turn that one single light bulb on. But that is the only electricity that is allowed inside the longhouse. So that prevents a lot of that. But I think that if we were in ceremony and I saw somebody scrolling through their phone, I would probably say something. Yeah, so time and place for everything. Ceremony is not the place to be scrolling through one's phone. Of course, like you said, I mean, I never really thought about it before when you're talking about, you know, how you got parents and they need to leave their phones on. So in case, you know, the children who might be, I don't know, maybe with a babysitter, you know, family or something like that, you know, who couldn't make it. I never really thought about that because it seems to me that when we have ceremonies, that from newborns,
yes,
and mm-hmm. on, everyone's there.
Yes, exactly.
So, mm-hmm. like, yeah, and so, but yeah, I think that, you know, time and place for everything, that's something that people have to understand. Mm-hmm. That's one of the, that's tied into, I think, using things with a good mind, using technology mm-hmm. with a good mind. You know, mm-hmm. Using technology or prioritizing technology over cultural or spiritual teachings, over an elder speaking.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. that's not okay. That's using things in a bad way.
I love this conversation. And I'm so thankful we had it today. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I want to make sure you share with our friends as we go, what can they do to be part of what you're doing, see what you are doing, learn from what you're doing?
With the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope that everybody, like I said earlier, can use the technology that's available today to make their lives better. Why not? I mean, like they said about the TV, the TV's not going away. It's mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
The technology is here, and we can either use it or it will be used against us. So
right.
we're using it for good. We're using it to strengthen our nation. You know, our mm-hmm. by using it to preserve our stories and our language. So I encourage others to do that and find the ways, the best ways for them to do it. You know, mm-hmm. how first, what do they want? What is it they want to preserve? How can they use the available technology to help their people? Maybe it's not through telling stories. You know, I mean, everyone's got stories around the world, and I would like for, you know, everyone to do that because I think that these old stories, they really tell the mindset, the worldview of the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that, it can help. Technology is available. It's not going anywhere, and it can help people in some mm-hmm. way or other. And I'm just hoping that people can use that all in a good way, you know, mm-hmm. find out how the technology can help them and then pursue it.
Wonderful. Do you have a website, a YouTube channel, anything else that people can use to see some of the work that you're doing and learn from it?
I do have both. the Tuscarora Historical and Preservation Society, we are building a website right now. It's not live yet, but for the moment, when I come back, I'll have that information for that website. But right now, some of my stories that I've got, videos that I've made in the language, Tuscarora language, that also have the English subtitles, is on www.TuscaroraNationNC.com. And I do have a YouTube channel, Creative Native NC.
Perfect. Perfect. What a wonderful conversation. Every time you're here, oh, I love everything about what you're saying and sharing with us. So, Mado, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, Gnaritha, I appreciate you. And thank you for inviting me. It's been a great conversation. It's always a good conversation here, and I always feel at home, and well, I know I'm already with family, so.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Well, we love all of our friends who listen, our donors, our sponsors who make this possible, all of the platforms who amplify our voice. We say thank you to you, and we say thank you for you. I can't wait till we're all together again next time. I'll see you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.